Chapter 4. Nothing But a Hound Dog. A warm wind blew through the little village of Hong Yao-wu, at complete odds with the cold chill going down the young woman's back. There were many ways Hong Mei-ling had expected her day to go. As the village chief's daughter, she had many tasks to fulfill, watching over the children, collecting herbs, making medicine, tending to whoever got hurt. It was often a hard job, but it was one she enjoyed. She loved her village and her family. She had not been expecting this. She had been reading a medical scroll when the scent came to her, seemingly carried on the breeze. The fragrance belonged to a young man. It was a strange quirk of birth that a mortal girl like her could smell qi, but she'd had the ability all her life. He had the stench of qi about him, thicker and headier than she'd ever smelled before. He was even more powerful than the last time she had smelled him, when he'd shared a meal with her father after inquiring about how they grew their rice. That had been a strange visit. She had only caught the tail end of the meeting as she was off in the forest collecting mushrooms. He'd seemed tired and twitchy, with bags under his eyes. A curiosity. He was gone that very day, headed off to the end of the road, far past where anybody else from the Empire had settled. But he was back again now. Curious, she had gone to see the young man, wondering what he was doing out here. Had he come to meditate in the hills, and now was leaving? She couldn't imagine any cultivator staying out here for long. There was nothing of value to them here in the Azure Hills. When the children's ball struck the tall, broad-shouldered boy pulling a loaded wagon with more ease than an ox, her heart had leapt to her throat. Mud coated his clothes. All knew that cultivators did not suffer such things. She still remembered many years ago when she and her father had traveled to the city, the contemptuous ease with which a cultivator had slain a beggar child for having the gall to get in his way. When little Xian had rushed to retrieve his ball, she rushed after him, desperate to beg for her little brother's life. Instead, the young man had started laughing. He looked so much different than when she had first seen him, his eyes wide open and sparking with merriment. He gave back the children's ball, then joined them in the mud pit. The cultivator, for that was the only thing the young man could be, cackled as he danced through the mud, dodging the children of the village, who threw themselves at him in an attempt to knock him into the wallow. He gently diverted them into the muck with wet splats, or picked them up and carried them around the pit, tickling them all the while. Mei-ling was very confused. He had steadily drawn an audience and more children. At first, the adults were wary, but now most had wandered off or sat around the edges, smiling at the silly lad and the kids. "You're a thousand years too early to defeat me," he laughed at them, hands on his hips. "My chicken is mightier than all of you." The children shrieked in outrage, and her dear little brother turned to her.
"Mei-mei, Mei-mei, help us, big sister Mei-mei,"
he pleaded. The cultivator's eyes snapped to her, which sealed her doom. Not in the traditional sense of a girl being doomed by a cultivator, for she was no beauty, thin and freckled as she was. Many had commented on the unfortunate speckles that spread across her nose and cheeks, or the sharpness in her violet thistle-flower eyes. Instead, a massive, gleeful grin spread across the cultivator's face, and he approached her. "Aha," he said, leering down at her. "Another challenger."
"So what if I am?"
she demanded of him, unable to back down under the pleading gazes of the children. She had never been very good at refusing when someone baited her. Everybody enjoyed her dagger-like tongue when it was directed at somebody else. She glared at him and dared him to challenge her again. It was stupid. He was a cultivator and she was a mere mortal, but she glared back defiantly anyway for the sake of her little brother. Then he did something unexpected. He scooped her up, one hand going under her legs and the other cradling her back. There was no effort to his movement. It was as if she weighed nothing. She flushed as she was brought into strong, firm arms, and then the cultivator unceremoniously jumped into the mud pit with her, holding her tightly enough that she couldn't get away. She normally liked the feeling of the squelching mud. She enjoyed catching frogs with her little brother, especially the way their little cheeks puffed up. However, that was something she was prepared for. She rarely just jumped in, especially in her clean clothes, after she had just taken a bath yesterday. She had no idea what kawabunga meant, but as she felt the mud slop into her clothes, she saw red.
"You wretched, pig-headed shit monkey!"
she howled, ignoring the fact that she was surrounded by children, and launched herself at the boy, who was laughing so hard he had doubled over. Mei Ling slammed into a solid body, and there was a brief moment where she was paused, unable to shift him. Then the moment passed, and she shoved him over backwards and into the mud. The adults, including her own father, found the entire situation hilarious. The children cheered for their champion, and the cultivator dashed around the mud pit while she chased after him. "Mei Ling the Hellion," her father teased her as she prepared dinner, bare hours after managing to wash most of the mud off in the river. She stuck her nose up in the air contemptuously, refusing to rise to the ribbing. He kept chuckling, and the rest of the ladies tittered at her expression. They were to have dinner with that bastard, and she was mightily displeased. Well, most of the village was going to be having dinner with him, but they, as the chiefs of this small village, would have to host the bastard in their home. At least that bastard had provided 2 deer and several rabbits for them. God, she hated the cultivator and his strong arms and his cute grin. No. She shook her head to clear away the treacherous images her mind provided for her. What was worse, nobody believed her that he was powerful either. "Sure your nose isn't off, Mei Mei?" they'd asked. For no cultivator got into a mud fight with children or went and made friends with peasants. Everybody else, at first vigilant, slowly relaxed. Even her father had calmed down, but she could still see that her father's eyes flicked towards the cultivator occasionally. She had started to doubt herself. Did he just have some kind of chi-filled plant on him? He smelled earthy and pure, but her nose had never steered her wrong before. She briefly contemplated attempting to dose him with a laxative. Hong Yao-wu was known for its medicine, and she was a dab hand at her craft. But if he was a cultivator, she stayed her hand. He might not mind the mud, but that might be too far. He would expose his wicked nature soon enough, like the one from the city, or worse, the reaving bandit Sun Ken. Aside from her scattered thoughts, the dinner preparation was fortunately uneventful. There were tables set up in the middle of the village, and a great amount of food would be there for everyone to enjoy. Her family, too, would be setting out on their regular visit to Verdant Hill once every 2 months. Mei Ling kept a close eye on him, but the cultivator spent most of his time playing Go with the men and losing spectacularly. The white stones on the table were dominated by their black counterparts. She had never seen somebody quite so bad at the game. She had felt uneasy when her best friend Mei Hua had brought them tea. Mei Hua was everything she wasn't, a classical beauty with flawless pale skin, midnight black hair, and full red lips. Mei Ling, being the younger by a year, was even stuck with the diminutive nickname Mei Mei, while Mei Hua was never called by anything but her name. When she went to Verdant Hill, men stopped and stared, struck dumb by Mei Hua's loveliness. She had received marriage proposals from over 50 men, but was determined to marry the clerk Ting Feng. Surely the cultivator would accost her. In all the stories, they were as beasts upon beautiful women. "Oh, you're getting married soon? Congratulations. Wait a sec. Here, I don't know if I can make the wedding, but that's no excuse not to give a gift." Instead of accosting her, he gave Mei Hua a beautiful fox pelt, congratulated her on her upcoming marriage, and then turned back to the Go table, laughing as he lost again. Weren't cultivators supposed to be skilled at everything? True geniuses. Old Man Lao, the cultivator's opponent, was terrible at Go.
"Hey, Jinjin, come catch frogs with us,"
her little brother demanded as soon as the game was done. "Frog catching, huh?" the cultivator asked, rubbing an imaginary beard. "Behold, you witness a master of the frog-grasping palm." He rose to his feet, his arms crossed, and the children cheered. Her father raised an eyebrow as the cultivator and his band of frog hunters began enthusiastically croaking and hopping along behind him. The tension drained out of her father's shoulders completely. Mei Ling stared after the cultivator as he dropped to all fours, hopping like one of the amphibians they were about to torment. The children eagerly copied him, croaking and hopping all the way to the stream. Maybe her nose was playing tricks on her. Man, that Maymay girl was glaring really hard at me, like an offended cat. It was pretty cute the way her freckled nose scrunched up. Maybe I had gone a bit too far, but I had been happy to play with other people. It was fun to actually talk to someone who wasn't a rooster. The look on her face had been hilarious when I dumped her in the mud, though. Totally worth it. Those dumplings were really good, too. Super tasty, and I was scarfing them down. The food I ate on the farm was passable, but with all of my stuff still growing and barely established, it hadn't been particularly tasty fare. This was my first meal not made by my hands in nearly 6 months. I closed my eyes and chewed contentedly, savoring it for a moment, before shoving in another mouthful. It was the dead of night when Mei Ling woke up, drenched in a cold sweat. There was something out there. It stunk of old blood and death. The scent lingered, mixed with hate and malice. The terror was nearly overwhelming, sending shakes down her back as the wicked chi invaded the village. She felt like she was about to vomit. She curled into a ball, wheezing and choking like she was drowning. And then it was suppressed. She smelled the cultivator's chi as it shoved the bestial chi backwards, repelling the blood and rot with a scent of freshly tilled soil and harvested rice. It surrounded her, overwhelming her senses, and dispelled the fear and dread as if they were never there. She heard the stirring from the cultivator as he rose from his rest. Then came the rattling of the door when he went to confront whatever was coming closer to the village. Mei Ling, her legs shaking, followed. Just what was he up to? What was he going to do? She had to know. I woke up with an itchy feeling crawling down my spine. I could feel some sort of predator nearby, but without Big D to sound the alarm, I hadn't acted. Groggily, I rolled myself off the futon and stretched. Might as well take care of it. It was pretty close, and while I was confident these people would probably be able to handle it, I was awake now anyway. I grabbed my shovel from my possessions, wandering out of the house. The fires were still smoldering a little, and I smiled at them. Today had been fun. Childish as hell, but fun. And those dumplings Mei Mei had made were really good. Although when I told her that, she scrunched up her nose at me. That girl was too easy to tease. I ambled into the forest, following my gut feeling, until I found a wolf. It was a big, mangy thing, with red skin showing through the gaps in its fur. Oh man, he's a big one, ain't he? Needs his toenails trimmed too, I thought to myself. It snarled and pounced. She followed the cultivator through the winding forest, the scent of blood battling against the smell of earth. She could barely hear because of how hard her heart was pounding, but the cultivator didn't seem to notice her footfalls. At last, he came to the source of the horrific chi, and her blood turned to ice. A reaper wolf. It was unmistakable, with its razor claws and slashing teeth. But what truly horrified her was the black mane it sported, ridging its back with midnight fur. It wasn't just a reaper wolf. It was the reaper wolf, the ultimate form of its kind. The butcher of the north, the caravan reaper, the wicked blade. It had been around these parts for nearly 300 years and had even killed cultivators. None who had tried to slay it ever came back. What was it doing here? Were they all to die tonight? She cowered behind a tree and prayed for Jin's soul, for him coming face to face with a monster that had songs written about its terrible deeds. The reaper wolf moved faster than her eyes could see, pouncing on him in a storm of bladed claws. The shovel met it. Clang! It struck the fell beast in the center of the head. The wolf's eyes exploded out of their sockets. Its forehead caved in as its head was driven into the soil. It twitched once on the ground and stilled, dead in a single strike. She gaped stupidly at the scene. The cultivator yawned. Bad dog, he muttered, and rubbed at his eye. The wicked blade hadn't even whimpered as it died. A life that ancient and that foul simply ended in an instant. Her village was saved from a monster that could butcher them all like it was an afterthought. Mei Ling watched as he took no blood, nor its teeth, nor the wicked blade's chi-laden core. Instead, his shovel went to work digging a hole big enough for the corpse, which he used to bury it in moments. No hard feelings, okay, buddy? He muttered to the mound, while green cheese swirled around his hand and disappeared into the soil. She thought she could hear a wail for a brief moment in her head, and then the lingering scent of blood vanished. She was still standing there in shock when he started walking back to the village. The cultivator squinted at her crouched form when he passed the tree she had been hiding behind. Need a ride back? He asked her. Her mouth moved before she could think it through.
The last time you gave me a ride, you threw me into a mud pit,
she shot back, sounding more annoyed than terrified. Jin chuffed in amusement and then gestured forwards. Well, come on, dangerous wildlife out here, he said. You can make me some dumplings again as thanks for escorting you home. She scoffed as if she found the idea distasteful, much to Jin's amusement. Her legs were rattling like windblown branches, yet she managed to stand, wobbling after Jin. She turned one last time to look at the overturned dirt. There were fresh grass shoots already sprouting out of it. Her father was waiting for them when they got back to her house, worry clear on his face. What happened? He asked, his eyes shooting to the cultivator. All of the animals kicked up such a fuss. Just a wolf, Jen replied with a shrug, sounding unconcerned.
Yeah, Mei Ling agreed. Just a wolf, father.
He looked at her, his racing heart calming down. He glanced between the two of them, at the fact that neither looked particularly concerned, and nodded. Just a wolf indeed.